T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting beat up and having your existence be completely tainted by people saying that you aren't X, Y, or Z. And then on top of that, from my vantage point, I felt like he was put behind the eight ball in a way with his strengths he couldn't play to. If you're not able to play to your strengths and your position that you've, one of the reasons you've gotten there is you're an unbelievable point guard. I felt, how could he with all the things going on and all the it's a lot of loud noise that you try to ignore, but people are human.
There's Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. He and the Dolphins begin their crucial three-game stretch in their schedule. They have three straight road games at Niners, at Chargers, and then here before they close out. Ooh, I think it was Patriots, Jets, but don't quote me. So they are in their critical stretch, just like the Bills are. Thanks for hanging out with us. 803-0550. You're going to get the calls in just a moment. First, you got a stat.
I got a stat. I put a stat together. I kind of looked into something. I don't know if it's a real stat. You know, there are a million stats out there. It's comparing Allen to Mahomes.
Okay.
This is a bit of a, to those of you that say, the offense is fine. What are you worried about? They scored 28 against the Lions. They scored 30 against Cleveland.
Yeah.
And rushing touchdowns are not factored in here. They probably should be. Mahomes has five. I'm sorry. Allen has five. How many does Mahomes have rushing touchdowns? That might help me like eliminate that rushing touchdowns matter in this conversation. Anyway, so I was looking at touchdowns per game and decided to look at rolling four-game total of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Four-game stretches. How many touchdown passes did Mahomes have? How many touchdown passes did Allen have this year? This is my number one thing right now for don't tell me it's okay right now. If you take the four-game total starting in week 1, 2, 3, 4.
Those are good numbers in the first 4 weeks.
Allen had 10.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 11. Weeks 2, 3, 4, 5. Allen had 11. Mahomes had 10. 3, 4, 5, 6, right? So you understand how I'm doing four-game totals.
Yep.
Here are Mahomes' numbers. Four game totals from week 1 through 4 to the last 4 weeks. 11, 10, 10, 12, 10, 10, 11, 9.
Right, so very consistent.
Allen, 10, 11, 10, 10, 9, 6, 4, 4.
Ooh. Mahomes has one rushing touchdown.
Okay, Allen has five rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
But from a passing standpoint,
right?
10, four game stretches, 10 touchdowns in four games, 11 touchdowns in four games, 10, 10, 9, 6, and then the last two four-game stretches, granted, they overlap a couple games in here. That's how it's going to work with the rolling average.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, it's funny. I should dig this out. I was looking up a stat, like four touchdown or more games for the Bills. Not just Allen, just the offense scoring four touchdowns or more. Now, they did it in week one against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in week two against the Titans. They've done it one time in the last 9 games, and that was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's not thrown four touchdowns since Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the offense scoring four or more touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, I think they had five touchdowns in that game. That's the one four or more touchdown game going back to week 3 against the Dolphins. So that's one. And again, you're going to sit there, 28 points here, 33. I'm just telling you, you know, this offense last year was very good. More than half their games, I think, they put up four or more touchdowns. They've done it once in the last 9 games.
And if I may, can I bring back, drag it out of the locker, the 300-yard passing point?
Oh, boy, I haven't talked about that.
Allen has one 300-yard passing game since the Chiefs game, And that was Minnesota, and he probably got it in overtime.
Like, yeah, they would have gotten 33 yards on that drive, right?
330 in overtime, 330 total, 253, 197, 205, 218.
He wouldn't have if they don't fumble that snap on the QB sneak, he doesn't get there.
Right.
And then he gets some on that final drive.
And they win the game, of course.
They would have won the game, right?
But just from a how's the passing offense doing, there's no way that it's not below its own standard. So
8 games. Sorry, Bills had 4 or more touchdowns in 8 of their 17 regular season games last season. They've done it 3 times this season. 2 of those were in the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, look.
Time to pick it up.
At the end of the day, you can look at a points per game number, and it might be there. Well, I mean, one game they had 6 field goals from Tyler Bass. That doesn't mean that, you know, the Bills are functioning at a level offensively that we've seen from them. So I understand why you're in the space you're at or in the place you're at. I'm not where you are, but to come out and say, guys, they're fine. Look at what their points per game average. I don't even know where they rank in the league this week. They must still be in the top 2 or 3, I would assume, yeah. Points per game.
But this
doesn't look right.
Right, but this is the thing I care about. Some people care about run defense the most. Some care about, are they effectively running the football? Are they balanced? The thing I care about the most is, what's the passing offense look like?
See, here, that's funny, right? The running offense numbers are much better in the last 5 games. Again, I don't have it in front of me, but they've rushed for like 125 yards or more each of the last 4 or 5 games, right? They didn't do that. Anyway, the point is, last 5 versus first 6, rushing numbers are up, markedly up. Does anybody feel better about the offense, though? I mean, again, I'm not a big balance out the offense guy. I'm a when you need to run the ball, run the ball. But they're rushing for like 150, 160, a lot of numbers. But it doesn't mean the offense is functioning at a higher level.
Here's another number for you. Over 8 yards per attempt passing.
Ooh, his numbers aren't good yards.
Allen was over 8 yards per attempt passing in 5 of the first 7 games.
Yeah.
And hasn't done it since. You know, like,
yep.
You want to know what'll make me feel better? Passing. It's the only thing that makes me feel about any team being any good. Oh, the Titans run it so well. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, be wary of the Colts. That's a team you want to face in the playoffs. I don't care. Can you throw it all over the field? Mm-hmm. And the last 4 or 5 games, the answer for that for the Bills is not really.
You know, if you look at, by the way, sorry to throw a lot of numbers at you, but here's the stat. The Bills, since the bye, the Bills are averaging 159 yards rushing a game. Prior to the bye, 117. It's a big jump. But since the bye, what's happened? We're wondering what's going on with the offense.
I mean,
so the rushing yards are way up, and we're sitting there going, oh, guys, the offense doesn't look right to me.
The returns in the passing game are bigger than returns in the running game.
Right, and,
it's just
and
reality.
The passing game is turning the ball over at critical
times.
That's
true. That's right. That's right.
But you know, look at New England, for example, right? New England, Mac Jones was not playing well. New England, they're saying, Mac Jones just had his best game of the season, right? 380 yards passing, I think, against Minnesota and a couple touchdowns. It's not, New England doesn't gauge how their team looks based on how well Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson is running the ball. They gauge their offense on how well is Mac Jones playing. Well, Mac Jones put the ball in the air and was really good against the Vikings in defeat. So, yeah, I just think, you know, you can look at points per game and you can look at rushing yards per game, and those numbers are fine. But we all know the Bills' passing offense isn't at a level where it needs to be to ultimately go where they need to go, and that is get to the Super Bowl and hopefully win a Super Bowl. Can you grab the lines? Get us going there. I think you got the mouse, right? Yeah, there we go.
Bob in Buffalo.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
My point, I don't dispute some of what you're saying about this comparison with Mahomes, but we're playing with a quarterback who's a beast and is playing with a bad elbow. And there's no question that it has affected his throwing on occasion. There, you listen to the quarterbacks that are on the TV, like Romo, et cetera, and they're saying every time that if he doesn't get his legs underneath them, he used to be able to fling the ball, and now it's affecting his throwing.
And as true as that,
he shouldn't even be playing. He should have been resting, but we can't afford to not have him. And he is such a tough kid that he's playing through a bad injury. You know, bad right elbow is certainly going to affect your statistics.
The only problem.
Hold on. As true as that may be, it's not true about the second half against the Packers. It's not true for most of the game against the Jets.
That's right.
And his first game after the Jets, the Vikings, was the best of the bunch.
Well, when did he get hurt?
He got hurt on the last drive. He got hurt on the last drive against the Jets.
Yeah.
So he basically went six quarters, almost six full quarters of, oh God, what's wrong with Josh? Before he got hurt,
and the Jets was 200.
The Jets was
205 yards passing, 53% completion percentage, and two picks. And
I put it this way: yeah. I would rather have him with a bad elbow than anybody else on our squad. And we've got to stop comparing him with Mahomes.
Why?
When he's got a bad album.
I'm not comparing him when he's got a bad album. We're gonna compare him all the time for the rest of their lives. They're the two of the best quarterbacks in the league. We're not going to stop that.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I understand that the elbow is a fact. No one's like giving up on him. All we're talking about is we want the passing offense to get back to where it was. And if, Bob, I know what you're saying. If you're saying that will come when the elbow gets healthy, great. I hope that's this week. I don't think anybody's given up on it. I got a couple concerns. One, that they don't have enough receivers. Yeah. Two, that their offensive coordinator might not be good enough. He might be. We're still finding out about that. And three, the elbow.
That's, Bob, I was just going to say, the other 2 points, it's not even just a Josh Allen, singular Josh Allen discussion. It is outside of Diggs. Nobody's playing consistently at the top of their game as another weapon in the passing game. And we are wondering about the creativity and the play calling and what's happening in the red zone and why don't you seem to have the success the previous guy had in the red zone. And that stuff isn't just related to Josh Allen's elbow.
I agree.
Yeah, so I appreciate the call. It isn't just a black and white, his elbow will be fine when his elbow is fine, when he's 100%. Every problem is solved because it started to happen before the elbow injury. And the drop-off in the offense since the first month and a half, maybe it's gradual, but there has been an issue there. And again, we've said it all year, right? Diggs every week, lock him in. Davis, sometimes. Knox, couple times. McKenzie, one time. It's like it's passing game by committee after Diggs. There is no set answer of a good, legit, consistent threat after Stephon Diggs. Each week you don't know. You hope, but you don't know who else is going to come up big in the passing game.
Quick tweet. It's almost like they're rushing more because of the elbow injury. Is that really true? He passed 42 times against the Lions. He passed 43 against Minnesota. And the criticism against Minnesota was that Dorsey didn't call enough runs.
Yeah. Yeah, he hit that drive where he went.
The first game after the injury,
right.
The biggest criticism is, why are you throwing so much?
Yeah. The drive where he went pass heavy. The first of the two turnovers late against Minnesota was a drive where they just stopped running and ran and just went.
And he
threw it in the end zone
on a fourth down was intercepted. The elbow injury gets talked about the more the passing game looks like it's not right. And in the first half against Minnesota, you know, looked fine.
Now, having said that,
it could be an injury
for sure against Detroit. There were some throws he missed that we thought, oh, he hits those.
Yes, I totally agree. I think it's probably a factor.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping that. Was it fix itself? It's got to fix itself.
I would hope it's going to fix itself as he gets healthy. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll go to Herman and Kenmore. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Howard. And what's the other guy's name? I forgot.
My name is Herman. My name is Jeremy.
He's been on the show for 18 years now.
I know that. Okay. His name's on the show, actually.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Okay, here. Let's face that. We still hate New England with a passion because they beat us up so bad all them years. But we are a better football team than they are. Now we have Tom Brady. They don't have him anymore, okay? Josh is okay. And I'll say this, too. My son played quarterback in college. That's another story. But he had a meniscus problem, okay? And he was out 7 to 10 days. So I have a very good feeling about Von Miller coming back, and we're going to win 4 straight, but the Super Bowl will be like we played when we played last Thursday. It'll have you on the edge of the seat the rest of the way in that game. I have a lot of confidence in our football team, and as long as our coaching staff comes true in this game and has a good game plan, we'll beat them bastards in New England. Have a good day.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Herman. Yeah, if anybody's listening and thinking like we're getting on Josh, I don't. That's not the intended point here. I'm only saying I won't feel better about this team until the passing game returns to the form it needs to be in. That's it. Every analyst on ESPN, Dan, or every, it's always going to be about how well they have. They got to run the ball. They're going to have to run the ball better. I will only care when they start to pass the ball better, back where they have been
right
for 2 years.
Right.
And it's not to say they're not good. I want Ken Dorsey to find the answers. I want James Cook involved, Nyheim Hines, Khalil Shakir. Hey, welcome back to the team, John Brown. Anything it takes. The only thing that makes me feel really, really good about them, and this includes how good the defense has been, I only truly believe when you can pass the ball the way that they have been able to.
Somebody tweeted in, Jets defense got Josh not trusting himself. Now he's second-guessing with a hurt elbow. Yeah, the elbow's a factor, but also, again, where his head is at and where is the offense and how do they look? Look, the Detroit game, as much as we're talking about the elbow, the Detroit game, you're watching that, and I know you had to be thinking, he doesn't trust his offensive line either. Pass protection at times has been a problem, right? The Jets defensive front dominated the Bills' offensive line. The Detroit Lions, at times, were eating the Bills' tackles for lunch, especially when Deion Dawkins left the game. Spencer Brown had a bad day. You know, the interior of the line, there were a number of issues the other day. And Josh is leaving the pocket quickly. So it's not, again, it isn't just his elbow will be fine and they'll be fine. There are other little things going on, including, at times, the pass protection. And I don't think the quarterback, there are times the quarterback looks very uncomfortable in the pocket or leaves the pocket quickly because his line isn't holding up. That's, I said earlier, for me, I feel the Bills will win Thursday, but I got to be honest with you. I'm having nightmares of what might happen with Matthew Judon and their pass rush. You know, hopefully Morse plays. I don't think Dawkins will. He hasn't practiced yet this week. I'm really worried about whether Josh is going to have time on Thursday night. How often? What can that? I don't want this turning into the Jets game, where the defensive pass rush dominates the Bills' offensive line and the quarterback can't make plays. That can happen against New England on Thursday night. Let's see. Anywhere? Okay. Let's go here. Paul in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. You know I'm going to switch topic. How many games are we going to watch these young players who are doing the best they can, getting there and done, to see them have wins ripped away by dumpster fire goaltending? I have been calling and complaining about goaltending for 2 years. We have had now $40 million in unspent cap money for 2 years. We have had not just the number one prospect pool, the super number one prospect pool for 2 years, and we cannot find representative NHL goaltending. That is just outrageous. I mean, what are we going to do on Ryan Miller night? Let in 7 or 8 in honor of Milty? I mean,
I think it would be a late soft goal to screw up a shutout, wouldn't it? No. Yeah,
maybe it'll be, is it against Sidney Crosby? Can he get a golden goal for us?
Here's the only way I think this changes, Paul. Jeremy, you tell me. The only way this changes to me is if they look at it and go, we want Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen playing every day in Rochester. He can't right now because Comrie's out. You're not going to play Anderson a heavy workload. So to your question, when would they do something? That's the only thing I would see. They go, all right, we got to send him back, which means they have to go find a goalie somewhere in the league, somebody's backup to get.
There's a piece up, I think it's Pierre LeBrun, looking back at the goaltender moves that were made in the offseason and how many of them are working and how many are not. One of the very strange ones that's working is Martin Jones. It's working.
He's got to drop off.
What the Sabres need is to either get somebody who's good or to finally get lucky on one of these guys.
Yeah, right.
Because Seattle's gotten lucky on Martin Jones. But Georgiev in Colorado has been great.
Vanacek has been fantastic.
Villehusso, right?
Yeah.
This is the whole thing about free agency. Like, oh, we don't want to spend money in free agency. You don't want to get silly season. Well, $5 million on a goalie in silly season might have been worth it. Keeping Linus Allmark, he's having a good year, right? Allmark's having a decent year?
Yeah, he's doing all right, yeah.
Like,
you don't think the Sabres are making a move for a goalie in season, though, do you?
They certainly should consider it.
I'm just saying that's different than him actually trading for
right.
somebody.
I don't know who would be available, but if you look at goals saved above average in the NHL right now, like where? Let me find.
Sabres are still near the
ball. Allmark, who was a Sabre, is fifth in the NHL. Fifth. The best Sabres goalie is Craig Anderson at 26.
And you can't play him every time.
So. Nope. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is 47th.
And Comrie is probably lower.
And Comrie is in the 60s. Yeah. 61 goals saved above expected. It's another year.
Yeah.
They're going to be a little bit artificially low. You know, Howard, what I like to do with the Sabres, I go to Natural Stat Trick, I look at their fancy stats. All right, high danger, Corsi, Fenwick. Scoring chance, expected goals, every single thing.
Yeah.
You know where they are in all those things? About the middle. They're not terrible.
Right.
Their goalies are.
Yeah, I mean, like look at last night. And I know it's three power play goals, but still, right? This is where teams will tell us the goalie's got to make some key saves against the penalty kill.
Their second biggest problem might be the penalty kill. It is a disaster.
It's been mostly horrendous.
It is a disaster. Yeah.
But also your goalie needs to bail you out. I mean, also, look, I get it. It's Steven Stamkos, elite level player. No screen. I mean, he's in open space, and he made a beautiful shot, but somewhere last night, just a couple key saves somewhere. Again, can the goalie bail out the penalty killers? Sometimes it's really tough, you know? Points goal, let's see, would that have been the tying goal? I forget which points goal. It was a one-timer in the middle, in the slot. It's really tough to stop. But just one or two key saves, that was a problem for the Sabres last year, and it seems to be an issue. But again, Paul, thank you for the call. Again, I do not... Unless Kevin Adams is working the phones trying to trade for someone's backup goalie, I don't think they're going to make a move unless they don't want UPL playing here.
And the frustrating part is that you've had two goaltenders that have immediately gone on to success elsewhere. Robin Leonard's first season away from the Sabres, he was a Vezina finalist. And right now, Linus Ullmark is the Vezina favorite. He's the betting favorite to win the Vezina. So you had two guys that theoretically should have been able to give you what you want, and it just you couldn't get it to happen while they were here.
And you didn't want to. I mean, they offered Ullmark term and money. And he decided to go to Boston. It's one of the things that they have earned through their mismanagement, not of this general manager. Previous general manager's mismanagement, they earned this hole they have to dig themselves out of. They are 29th in the NHL on the penalty kill.
And they were,
28th in the NHL on the penalty kill.
And they were 6th on the power play, so that portion of the special teams is okay, but the penalty kill's been horrendous. All right, we'll get a break in, 803-0550 to join us. Hey, quick reminder, hopefully you've gotten involved in our cool contest. Actually, it's more about heating, not cooling. The TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills Contest. You'll find a link at WGR550.com. If you enter for a chance, you could win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, we'll have one lucky winner randomly selected from all the entries we get. TRS Heating and Air Conditioning, they treat you as if you were their only customer.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I think they're playing really good on defense like they have the past few years and doing some really good stuff. Definitely added a few things, and I've watched them on film, obviously, and watched them on crossover film. So they look like a really good defense. Great players at every level, really well coached, attack the football, you know, they rally to the ball, all the things that they've done for a long time, and it's a great defense and a big challenge, so we're just going to work and see where we're at.
Mac Jones, Patriots quarterback Mac Jones. Rich Prebar had this on the Bills, he of Sharp Football, that the injuries in the Bills defense have started to show up. The Bills, since week five, have been third worst in the NFL in yards per drive given up. Lions the worst, Jaguars second worst, Bills third worst. But of course, one of the things about this defense, it's always been a little bend but don't break, right? Like,
yep.
Sometimes you'll get your yards, but when it comes to points, that's mm-hmm. a different story. So, and they also look healthier this week. A fully formed defense, which is...
They have yet to have it all season.
By the way, is it about to be last year's defense with the new defensive line minus Von Miller? Because he's the only one that's going to miss if Trey White plays. Micah Hyde, sorry.
Yeah, sub Levi Wallace for whoever the heck is on the other side.
But it's kind of...
Right, most of it.
It's the pre-Von defense.
Yeah. Well, I actually think... No, I mean, Von obviously is a huge loss. We know that. The defensive tackles are better than last year's group.
Yep.
It's overall, I think, a more talented group up front. By the way, before you get to the next call, Mac Jones, did you know he hung a photo from the wild card loss? Do you remember that story from training camp?
Yeah.
He kept a picture. There's a picture of Mac Jones in the loss to the Bills walking off the field dejected, and he hung it in his locker room back in training camp as daily motivation to try and, you know, we got to get better so we can beat that team this year.
One thing that's lost in that game, he did not play poorly.
No, that's why
the Micah Hyde pick
was a big play.
It was a great pick. And after that,
yeah,
he made throws and they had big drops. And right. Of course, their defense didn't force a punt. Like,
that could be an issue. Yeah.
He didn't stink. He didn't dress right. himself in embarrassment.
Right, but we didn't really, it wasn't a story because yeah. the story was, oh my God, Bill Belichick's defense literally couldn't stop the Bills. But yeah, he's been using that loss to the Bills as his motivation for this season. So we'll see how he plays Thursday night. We'll go to Chuck in Buffalo. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I just want to talk about and get your opinion on the wide receivers last year comparatively to this year. Last year we had Sanders. Last year we had Beasley. And these guys were veteran presences that, like, helped Josh when he was scrambling. They knew how to get open. They knew where to go. I think what we're seeing this year is Josh really being afraid of, like, throwing to certain guys like Davis because he's having a regression. But, like, those veteran presences are what we're missing for Josh to keep developing because they're not working the same way that they were last year. We've got Davis who can't catch the ball as effectively as he used to, and we don't have anybody like that's those veteran presences. They're allowing Davis to get open down the field. They're allowing McKenzie to make crossers that he can toss to, which is why we're missing, like, Crowder, and why I think at the trade deadline, I think we should have looked for a veteran wide receiver. But I think that with Ken Dorsey's offensive game plans, they're missing that reliability that we're only getting from Diggs. I'm going to hang up and let you guys mm-hmm. talk.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to look at this, I hate leaning back on, you know, fancy stats and next-gen stats and everybody doing this, but it's one way to put it in perspective. So 538 has a receiver metric. According to ESPN's analytics on receivers, scores on how open they get, yards after catch, how often they catch the ball, blah, blah, blah. Stephon Diggs, and they update it each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how these guys are playing this year. Stephon Diggs is the best receiver in football, tied with A.J. Brown. They are ranked each, they are ranked number one.
Right.
Tyreek Hill is three. Tyler Lockett, Justin Jefferson. You know where Gabe Davis comes in?
50th?
82.
Yeah, that's not good.
Your top two receivers are 1
and 82.
And 82.
Yeah, I think
McKenzie is 79. McKenzie scores higher on ESPN's tracking data. McKenzie slots in at 2 instead.
Well, and I think that's why I know the caller. Sorry, was it Chuck? I think was our. I apologize. It was Chuck, right? Thank you, Joe. Chuck, you mentioned veteran presence. I think if you want to boil it down, there are two guys that we looked at in the offseason as the Bills are trying to figure out what to do, who to sign. And of course, they anticipated Crowder being here, which might be helping a little bit right now. Was he not injured? But I know I thought there are two guys who are going to be asked to step up and take on bigger roles, and they're both ready for it. Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie, right? And they're not handling that larger role. Like Gabe Davis, you mentioned Josh and trusting his receivers, and I think part of what's... I don't think Davis is regressing. It might be a matter of there are limitations to Gabe Davis's game that wouldn't show when he's third or fourth or whatever on the depth chart. But when he moves all the way up to behind Diggs, and, you know, Davis is on the field a lot. You know, they keep him on the field during run plays because he's such a good blocker. So he could have 90%+ snaps in a game. But he's not, at this point, good enough in the limitations of his routes that he runs or whatever else. He's not good enough to count on regularly as a number two guy game-to-game basis. He makes plays at times. Well, that's okay when there were Beasley here and Sanders here and Brown here and Diggs is here and Gabe Davis would sprinkle in some plays. I just immediately thought, don't worry, he'll be fine. Bump him up to number two. He'll be consistent. We'll be good. McKenzie's ready for a bigger role in the offense. No, I'm not saying I thought he'd be Beasley, but better than, you know, what, 3 targets a game. I thought he could help out the offense. Well, and neither guy is good enough or consistent enough that they're handling those increased roles.
Just to give you a little bit of context about this, like last year, Beasley and Sanders were both in the top. Like Beasley was 50, Sanders was 60. Yeah. Diggs is way down. Last year, Diggs was not the monster that he is this year.
Right.
The yards after catch wasn't there. Whatever. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's the Beckham. We're going to have the Beckham conversation.
That's right. The good news is Diggs is great. That's the really good news. But it's a lot on Diggs. It's a lot on his shoulders because, again, the two guys we were counting on to bump up, and even more so when Crowder goes down, have not been able to produce on a regular basis. Now, I don't know if that's solely on Davis and McKenzie. I don't know if it's a Dorsey thing, but I counted on both of those guys to be better than what they have been, be able to handle increased responsibilities. Neither guy's been able to do it. McKenzie just had his best game of the year, but has not done much in this offense. And Davis, you know, with Gabe Davis, game by game, you have no idea what to expect from Gabe Davis. He can come out and make big catches, and then he can have like a one-catch game and a drop or two. So that's really tough. And that's one of the many reasons why we talk about Odell Beckham, why we talk about the Bills passing offense. Dawson Knox, too. And maybe, you know, some of that might have been, and understandably so, Knox dealing with the tragedy, you know, the loss of his brother. And I'm sure that would affect anybody in their day-to-day job. Knox finally had a big game 2 games ago. And then the other day, they barely targeted the guy. So there's just that lack of consistent guys that Josh is able to turn to help him out when he needs a big passing play.
There was a play I saw Anthony from Cover One breaking down on Twitter yesterday where McKenzie runs an out route on a 3rd down and he's wide open. Mm-hmm. And Allen doesn't even look at him. Yeah. Like that's a play where even he's like, that's Beasley every single time before because of that trust factor that was there. And maybe Allen just doesn't have that trust instinctually for Isaiah McKenzie. He takes off and runs and gets the first down, so he still gets the yardage, but that's a throw that usually comes out to your slot receiver. And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, he's asked about John Brown, and like the first thing he says is, it's a guy that I trust. And maybe that's just it, that Allen has had 3 receivers that he trusts, knows where they're going to be exactly on the field at all times, and part of the reason why that hasn't been clicking as much is There are some plays that even Dorsey designs that are right, where Allen just, I don't know, I can't trust this guy to be in this certain spot at every time, and I need that to happen if I'm going to throw the football there.
Or at times, not trusting, maybe your pass protection maybe isn't what it needs to be, and he just knows, I can make a play with my legs. So I'm not going to hang in here for a second or two longer. I'm just going to leave the pocket and run and make a play and make a positive game, which he can do, of course. Top of the hour, Extra Point Show, Joe and Sal. Sean McDermott going to join him right around the top of the hour. So make sure you're listening in for the Bills head coach. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment, WGR.
I just had a visceral reaction to seeing a matchup in the NFL this week. And it's not, oh, wow, that's a bad game. It's more of a, someone should protect that man.
Wow.
The Colts play the Cowboys. Micah Parsons is going to kill Matt Ryan. Matt, buddy, call it a career this week.
Maybe Matt Ryan suggests they play Sam Ehlinger instead.
They can't protect him at all.
Yeah.
He can't move.
He can't run, yeah.
There are a number of plays last night where the Steelers got pressure and Ryan would try and, like, run out of the pocket. And, you know, as someone who watches a team where a quarterback runs and occasionally throws down the field, Matt Ryan would start to roll to his right. And I'd be like, okay, here comes the throw.
Mm-mm. No, huh?
Throw like a yard or 2 yards or out of bounds or out of play. Micah Parsons chasing Matt Ryan.
Joe, look up the over-under. Look up the sacks. Yeah, Micah Parsons over-under for sacks for this game.
I mean, bet 2 sacks. Mike, the Colts' offensive line, and they lost their center for a little bit last night. I don't know if he's out for a long term.
Right?
Yeah, the Colts' line is a mess.
Yeah, it is.
Their quarterback can't move. Their offense is a disaster, and they're playing Dallas?
Yeah. Hey, it's a Sunday night game? Or did they move that out? No, they didn't. They didn't move that out. That's still, that's the Sunday night game. They can't move it out now.
No, I mean, it's Dallas.
Yeesh. Yeah, I guess that's right. It's Dallas. They always bring eyes to the television.
The Colts' defense is not horrid. They've got some players over there.
Yeah.
But, oh my goodness, Micah Parsons chasing Matt Ryan's bad news.
He's good, Micah Parsons. Watching him a little bit in their Thanksgiving game against the Giants, he's just so
He's awesome.
No one's unstoppable. He's pretty darn close. Because it's too hard to try and keep this guy from getting to your quarterback. So, yes, thank you for pointing that out. Poor Jeff Saturday. That's probably not going to bode well for the Colts on Sunday night. What else did I want to say? There was a viewing thing I wanted to tell you.
About Team USA against Iran?
No.
Give us a prediction. Howard picks the Team USA.
My prediction is to let you make the prediction.
Are they going
to
win?
Yes.
What's the score?
2-1.
2-1. Wow. Excitement all the way.
With a goal. How about this? A goal in stoppage time.
What? Wow.
I figured I'd make it exciting.
That'll be...
Joe's going to be doing shots. He'll be so stressed out.
It will be Landon Donovan-esque.
Shades of U.S. Algeria in 2010.
U.S. scored, what was that? That wasn't stoppage time. It was maybe like the 86th minute.
It was late.
It was very late when they scored to beat Algeria and go on. Wow.
They lose, they're out. They draw, they're out, right? Have to beat Iran. Goal differential doesn't matter. Just beat them.
Have to win.
You're really making us sweat it out then.
Yeah.
Stoppage time, wow.
Yeah, you know, might as well have a little fun. Might as well make this a little dramatic for you guys. I assume you'll be out and about enjoying libations while you're watching the game?
I will be out watching this game. Donovan scored in the 91st minute.
Okay, what's stoppage time?
It was stoppage time.
There you go.
Stoppage time
goal. Everybody goes nuts.
The thing that will be different, if it does go to stoppage time, is Donovan in the U.S., they score kind of on the counterattack there.
Oh, yeah.
And
Howard makes a save and then just...
They run it and they go counterattack. If this game is 1-1 in stoppage time... Iran's got the bus parked. There will not be a counterattack goal.
What was different about that game maybe was Algeria also needed to win to get through.
Yeah.
So a draw hurt both teams. This is, Iran needs just a draw. They're going to have everybody back. The whole game probably.
In that scenario, maybe.
Well, that doesn't bode well.
But as you pointed out, maybe they pushed and try and get the first one.
Yeah.
And the other thing is...
They wouldn't do that, right? They're just going to play the whole game for a draw, right?
I think it's essentially... The game starts and Iran's up 1-0.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's
they have
like
a point when the game
where...
begins. This is the old hockey coach scenario. I got a point before the game even starts.
Well, if you're thinking about this way, though, if you're... Right, like you're going to try and score. How much do you want to go all out to try to attack? If you're Iran, you get the first one, you're in control.
Oof, yeah.
If the U.S. gets the first one, if you're Iran, like maybe you do want to park it early... And try to score on the counterattack because when the U.S. got the lead against Wales, the second half they sat back.
They didn't play well. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
They just laid there and let Wales come to the... Anyway, we'll see.
Extra Point Show is on the way. Sean McDermott scheduled to join the boys pretty close to the top. So stay tuned for the Bills head coach with Sal and Joe next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.